as well as other twos, and he's a little big. He just doesn't fit that two. Everyone wants Jamal Crawford, and I get that. I'm just saying, if we could find a way to work out the salaries, find Cleveland to eat something, J.R. Smith isn't the worst possibility. I know Steinmetz is somewhere like gouging his eyeballs out as I say that, but there's not a whole lot out there. And someone's saying, what do you think about landing Austin Rivers? I mean, he's kind of gives me elements of what Livingston has. Long, can dribble, combo guard. Isn't really a one, but isn't really a two. I don't really know what Austin Rivers is, other than disappointing in a coach's son.
Well, a lot of what gets made about the Warriors is the shooting, because obviously we're leading with two of the greatest shooters that the game has seen. Mm-hmm. But when you actually delve into the second unit, who are your dead-eye guys? Who's coming off the bench and is able to hit basically any shot? McKinney started off the season being able to.
Uh-huh.
Jarebko has been able to knock it down when he needs to. But then that has been a huge problem, has been a lack of just straight-up shooting.
Yeah, I agree with that. And
so you're going to bring in Austin Rivers, who can't shoot?
Yeah.
That's the biggest problem with Livingston, no matter how much you might be in love with a little bit of baseline action.
Should I say the name? All right, guys. I mean, let's bring it up. What did Carmelo do this week, Gabe? Tell the people.
Carmelo sent a very thirsty tweet to Steph and KD.
But he didn't send it to
LeBron James.
I thought he originally sent a tweet to
LeBron James.
I don't have a LeBron James. They've been taken down in any event.
Oh. But LeBron, the tamperer who's been tampering with Anthony Davis and pretty much everyone, Tyson Chandler.
How extended of tampering to come out and say it'd be nice to hypothetically play with somebody. Yeah. Wow, he really delved deep for that one.
49er talking a little bit here, guys. Stay with us. We got Kyle Mattson going to join us. But give me the Carmelo tweet real quick.
All it was the word Lego with three G's.
Lego my ego? It's me, Carmelo. Hoodie Mello, we want to bring him in. You know what?
Maybe that's the problem. You know, he doesn't produce in the games, but he always shoots well in the gym. Maybe we just need to let him James Jones it and wear a hoodie on the court.
James Jones, one of the worst bench players ever. I'm not a Carmelo fan at all, but he does give you exactly what you need. Like scoring. You just need ISO scoring. A guy who's just going to hit from all over the court. He's not going to play a whole lot of defense. You brought up Jarebko. I love what Jarebko does, but he's such a big, like, he's not the two. They need a 2-3 guard. They need a wing. That's what they desperately need. And I feel like the McCaw situation, both parties, the Warriors and Patrick McCaw, have misplayed their hand in this one. He didn't get the run that I thought he should have got the year prior. I'm going to call space, but I didn't think they should have brought back Iguodala. I think they should have let Iguodala leave in free agency. If that was my choice, I would have kept that $17 million per year. That would have been a chip. I would have walked over to a Trevor Ariza and said, here's 10. You want to come play with a champion, or you want to cash out in Phoenix and get somebody who can continue to play during the regular season? See, one of their big glaring holes is they got $26 million invested into two guys who aren't going to help you a whole lot in the regular season, Sean Livingston and Andre Iguodala. Now, I get it. The long play is, well, we need him for the playoffs. What happened last year against Houston when push came to shove and Iguodala was hurt in the most important series? It was, oh, if we had Iggy, we would have swept them. Well, you didn't. Old guys get hurt. And he had to have the full bag of money. So I'm open to a lot of things. And you know what? The Carmelo thing, I mean, if you would have asked me a year ago, no way. Why not? Like, really, what can really, and if you can get Nick Young a ring, and Carmelo, I mean, you're like Mother Teresa of organizations, right? I mean, you are the rehab facility on the character turns, right? You're like the WCW.
You know what these signings are or would be? They're heat checks.
Why
is
that?
It's absolutely a heat check. It's the equivalent of somebody just walking up to the half court line after they haven't missed a single shot all game and being like, well, I'm going to see if this goes in. And it did with Nick Young, but I think that's a lot of good revisionist history on Nick's part, because he did have a very lackluster year. And for all that was made about it, he didn't really acclimate to the whole Warrior culture.
Dude, he was terrible.
He got a ring. Cool. I don't have any ill will against Nick Young. I think the signing looks a lot better in retrospect than it actually was.
No, I totally agree. I couldn't stand him. I mean, wearing the robe into the games. Like, dude, what? You're the 11th man. What are you doing? That's like the punter. Like, what was the punter for the Raiders who was popping off?
Marquette.
Marquette King. It's like, dude, you're the punter. You're the punter. Know your role. Read the room. Everybody's ripping me on the Chilton Auto Body text line from my Andre Iguodala text. I love Iggy. I love Iggy. But not at $17 million a year. Right? That's all. Old players start to be depreciating assets. He is a depreciating asset. He's not getting better. He's getting significantly worse. And he literally can only help you. How many games did Andre Iguodala legitimately help you last year? 9. And that's being generous. Maybe. I mean, remember when Klay finally got hurt first time in his career? Remember when Durant was down? Remember when it was just Draymond out there? I think one game in Phoenix, Iggy gave you a good game in the regular season. All the rest were a handful of playoff games. And then again, in Houston series, when you needed him the most, he got hurt. And I love the guy. And I get freak accident. He got hurt in the 2016 series, too, against LeBron. His back went out. And that's, hey, that's one of the most impossible asks there is to guard LeBron. But his back was jacked up in that series.
Well, you know exactly. We just talked about this earlier. His one really excellent, you could say, game this season.
Yes.
26 minutes of burn.
Uh-huh.
Great out there. Missed the next 2 to 3 games right after. Immediately right after.
It's, again, I love Iguodala. I love the guy. For the David West contract, right? You know, the league minimum. When you realize, dude, you've been taking full bags for years. You were the man on Denver. You were the man in Philly. Even when you got to the Warriors, you were making good coin. Like, did you have to take the full 17? And I don't begrudge him for taking it. It just frustrates me that the Warriors, ownership, brass, whatever, didn't properly evaluate exactly what they were getting with that $17 million.
By the way, it is going to be Mike Breen, Jeff Van Gundy, and Mark Jackson live from the Oracle.
So who's the broadcast team? Say that again.
Mike Breen.
Okay.
Jeff Van Gundy. Ugh. And Mark Jackson.
I like Van Gundy, Martinez guy, Martinez, California, home of Joan DiMaggio. I like Van Gundy, but he has turned into a character of himself. Would you guys agree? He's worse than me.
He's become very aware of the scrutiny that's applied to his broadcasts.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the time, yeah, it's like he's doing his own performance when he's broadcasting. He's like, oh, I know somebody's going to say what I just said on Twitter later, so let me really play it up.
The reason I make a big deal about the Andre Iguodala contract situation is because if you look at the great teams that don't just have one dynasty little run, you know, a couple of years, they prolong their dynasty run, you have to make tough financial decisions. You look at the Patriots. Look at how many, and I get it, football's different. I understand that. How many difficult decisions have they allowed studs, all-time greats, Lawyer Malloy, Ty Law, Richard Seymour, even more currently, Jamie Collins. I know Chandler Jones showed up naked in a police station, so you had to get rid of that guy. But he's led the NFL in sacks over the last 3 years. They've made a ton of frugal decisions, and they went back to the Super Bowl last year. Because you have to continue to reload. And sometimes you got to say bye-bye to a guy a year early rather than a year late. The Bill Walsh theory. And in a salary cap sport where all we're hearing about is luxury tax and things like that. The money could have been allocated more properly. I don't even know if that's the right way to say it. I'm not a journalist. But it just frustrates me. And even the Livingston, like I love what Livingston gives me. But he has not been hitting that turnaround jumper, guys. You know the one where he backs down his guy at the mid post, he turns around and he holds it forever and then shoots it up and over the guy? It hasn't been knocking down. It hasn't been coming down. And if you hang on to guys too long, well, now you're into the Evan Longoria, Brandon Belt, San Francisco Giants dilemma.
And I'm a little bit on the new breed where I'm a 3 and inside guy.
Okay.
I don't love the mid-range 2s. I'm never going to be enamored with Sean's game. But the thing that you can get out of people who play the post,
yes,
is you draw defenders.
Absolutely.
And you kick out.
Yeah.
And when he really puts his back to somebody, how many times have you seen him throw a pass out of that situation?
You're right.
Basically never. And this is supposed to be your one.
Yeah.
But he's just taking the shot every time. It's like he gets tunnel vision. It frustrates me.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree. And one of the things, and we're going to get into the Fortnite, but one last thing on this. When Iggy and Draymond are out there together, everyone is packed in the paint because they're like, there's no way either of these two is going to hit an open 3. And Iggy's jump to the top 3-point shot is so hurt. I mean, paging Sean Marion for bad jumpers. Paging Sean Marion. On the other side, let's get into the 49ers. My 49ers, I want to talk about
the San Francisco 49ers
on 957 The Game.
Okay, here's the deal. We're rapping like 10. Just me, Roger Craig, and a couple of friends. You know, we play the game where you pass, block, or run. But most of all, we out to have big fun. I get the ball every now and then. They call me Roger, the Dodger. I bust through the defense.
Now back to the Butcher Shop on 95.7 The Game. Here's Joe Shasky.
Woo! Oh my God, I love that song. All right. So, this is the Butcher Shop. What up, San Francisco? That right there, that song that you're hearing, it is the 49er rap song. You just Google it, 49er rap song. During the late 80s, mid-late 80s, the Super Bowl Shuffle made by the Bears became a huge hit, and then every team proceeded to copy it. Yeah, that one right there. And I'm telling you, my boy Matt Murphy, Chops, the original Chops, we had a, way back in the day, like an old mixtape, you know, we had a radio little like thing that we did. It was Chops and the Butcher Boy, if you can think about that. Look how far I've come. I'm actually on the radio. But my boy Matty, when we were at a big house party in high school or whatever, he would pop that into the VHS, right? This is back before DVDs. Right? He'd pop that in, and all of a sudden, the next thing you know, you'd hear
all the night.
Or
the San Francisco 49ers.
Dude, I'm telling you, the entire place would gather around the television and watch Jerry Rice in those like Jordache 80s jeans that look like washed. Absolutely hilarious. So from now on, whenever I'm going to do a 49er little drop, it's going to be
all the night.
And we came to play
the San Francisco 49ers.
Who?
The San Francisco 49ers.
Oh, it's so 80s and I absolutely love it. And I know you do too. 49ers. Let's get into the 49ers because you know who they play this weekend? The originators of the Super Bowl Shuffle.
We are the Bears.
What? The who?
We are the Bears.
Nuh-uh.
The San Francisco 49ers.
That's who we are. And I'm going down to Levi's this Sunday. I'm taking my grandpa. I am so excited to go see the 49ers play this weekend. We're calling 2-game winning streak? When you win 2 in a row, you know what they call that? It's a winning streak. You guys never seen Major League, one of my favorite movies of all time? I'm telling, hey.
There was a hot little discussion going on Twitter.
Okay.
Because Bonte came out specifically.
Which one of his garbage takes are we going to dissect?
No, you're going to be with it.
Okay.
The question was, what's the best baseball movie of all time?
Okay.
And Bonte said Major League, no debate about
Field of Dreams.
Okay, well, that's Bonte, and then Kolsky agreed with him. So we got that contingent.
Field of Dreams. Kolsky don't even like baseball.
Field of Dreams is a good pick. I have a very soft spot for The Rookie, starring Dennis Quaid.
Get out of here. You've lost all discussions.
Come on.
The Rookie.
Great tale.
Get out of here. Great tale. Get out of here.
Based on a true story.
Okay, you know what we do whenever we want to cut someone off?
Todd.
Okay, that's what we're doing. Gabe, go to the penalty box for about 2 minutes, all right? No chiming in. Let's get back to the 49ers. Great baseball movies. We will discuss the Hall of Fame in baseball, and I will give up your baseball movies at 10 o'clock. I promise. We got Jason Cole coming in around 9:30. We got Kyle Madsen in about 8 minutes. He does Niners Wire. He is the managing editor. He also does some stuff up in Sacramento. I know he goes to a lot of 49er games. Let's get into this DeForest Buck. He was snubbed. Did you guys know the Pro Bowl came out this week? All the Pro Bowl selections. And George Kittle, who I have dubbed the best player on the 49ers all season, in my opinion. Now, I know because of the statistics, the skill position guys are always going to be a little more sexy. They're going to be more desirable, a little more fan-friendly. Like, my wife would know who George Kittle is because she plays fantasy football. And yes, my wife went farther than me in fantasy football this year in the family league than I did, but that's another story. Let's get back to
all the night.
So DeForest Buckner became an alternate as a Pro Bowler. He's an alternate. The three guys ahead of him were Aaron Donald, duh, no doubt about it, baddest dude on the planet. It's Khalil Mack and him. Those are the two best defenders in the game right now. There's no debating. Aaron Donald deserves it. Fletcher Cox is another one who got selected. This dude's been kicking butt for how many years? 6, 7, 8? He's been dominant. And at some point, you get the benefit of the doubt, and you're better than your statistics. For years, I'm a diehard Niner fan. For years, you know what my... Justin Smith deserves to be an all-pro, and don't look at the stats. He's grabbing two and three guys. Yeah, look what he's making Alden do. Fletcher Cox is the same way. He takes on double and triple teams all game to allow Brandon Graham and other guys to eat and feast on the quarterback. He is going in because he deserves it. He has gotten to that level where he's going to go on reputation. And another guy who goes on reputation and went the last couple years was Joe Staley. And now Joe's been better this year and last year, but the years prior, I felt like he only got the selection because of his reputation. And I love Joe Staley. If Bob St. Clair's the greatest offensive lineman in 49er history, number two is probably Joe Staley. So when DeForest didn't get selected to the Pro Bowl game, I didn't think it was a huge outrage. Who was the third guy? The other guy was the guy for the Bears. Come on, give it to me. What's the guy for the Bears that they're going to see this weekend? Who was the defensive tackle? Come on, Akeem Hicks, yes, that's what I thought. And look, when you're part of a historic defense that has 28 interceptions, that Khalil Mack is getting MVP consideration, best believe Hicks is going to get his deserves. And when your team is steamrolling their way to a division title and the playoffs, you get the benefit of the doubt, whether it's fair or not.
Not to mention, Akeem Hicks also had a rushing TD this season.
Oh, nice. That doesn't help for his Pro Bowl selection on the defensive line. But I'm just not outraged for a 4-10 team to not get a Pro Bowler, right? Like, I remember when the Niners were so bad, and I would root because Andy Lee, the punter, would get selected to the Pro Bowl. You know why? Because that's the only guy that deserved to go. Remember when the Raiders and the Niners sucked, but we sent our special teams to the Pro Bowl in 2004? It was Brian Jennings, Andy Lee for the Niners, Shane Leckler, and Sebastian Janikowski for the Raiders. You know why? Because both teams sucked. Okay? Win more games. And look, I know there are individual awards. I get that. And he has great numbers. I understand all that. I understand all that. But I'm telling you, DeForest getting an alternate nod feels right. That's fine. I'm fine with that. And if one of the guys bows out or plays in the Super Bowl, he'll get his chance to go in there. I'm not outraged by it. I understand people getting upset, but I'm not outraged by it. George Kittle deserved that spot. I'm probably more like scratching my head on Kyle Juszczyk. Juszczyk is, there's only so many fullbacks in the league right now. So I get him getting the nod, but it's not like he's been this like outstanding Tom Raffman all year. I know the quarterback situation and all the different running backs and the patchwork offensive line plays into his run block rating, his effectiveness in the pass game. I understand all that. But like when I talk about every single week who's playing good on the Niners and who isn't, it's Buckner and Kittle and Breida.
Well, you know what I don't understand about Juszczyk, and then maybe this is more Shanahan.
You're back from the penalty box.
In
I like
general.
It.
Uh-huh. I think I took the proper amount of
you
time.
You did. No, you're fine. Really, yeah, you're fine. Okay. You're fine. You're good.
Well, what's our biggest knock on Shanahan probably in general is the red zone offense.
Absolutely.
Doesn't get it done when you get inside the 20. Mm-hmm. And that's said before because he favors the scat back kind of person in the backfield mm-hmm. who can't really push through and bully for those yards that you need.
Yes.
Isn't that what Kyle Juszczyk is tailor-made for as a fullback? Why are we not getting more fullback dives inside the 5 and 10-yard line?
Because he played skill position, tight end and wide receiver in college. He isn't your traditional fullback guy like Lorenzo Neal. Like, I'm here to smash you back 18 yards. Like, he's not that dude. He's more of a, not finesse fullback, because that's not the way to put it. That's just not in his DNA. And also, I get where you're coming from, but now defenses are so sophisticated, they know what's coming. And these linebackers are so quick. The Deion Jones-type linebackers, that knife underneath blocks, they're five times more athletic than Juszczyk. So anytime there's a pull in space or a sweep in space, it's hard. Just to get a hat on somebody, it's hard. I would say this, though. I have no problem with George Kittle going to the Pro Bowl. He deserves it. Absolutely deserves it. Buckner getting an Pro Bowl alternate spot, don't be outraged. Clap it up. That's a great development. This is a guy going into the year, everyone was saying he's got to take that next step. He's got 11 sacks. I would just say next year, when the games are a little closer and teams maybe will have more leads and teams will be throwing more to come back into the game, I think his numbers will look even better, regardless of how they solve the pass rush on the edge situation. Because I think you'll be in more close games. And the fact that the Bears were on primetime every single week, that factors in as well. The Niners got flexed out. Had they not been flexed out against Seattle a couple weeks back, we would have said, where was DeForest Buckner on primetime, right? Where was he? He looked good in the Green Bay game. He looked really good in the opening game against Minnesota, but there was a bunch of games in between where he didn't hear his name. From the 510 on the Chill Not a Buddy text line, the 49ers have the only fullback in the NFL. Yeah, accurate. That's accurate. Good call. Good call. I like that. Well, we are going to talk with Kyle A. Madsen of 49ers Wire. All the Niners. Who?
The San Francisco 49ers.
Yes. Let me know when we got him, guys, because I want to, you know, pick his brain on the 49er Pro Bowl and seeing where we're at. I'm definitely excited for this game against the Bears. You get to see Vic Fangio, former 49er great defensive coordinator. Where would you rank Vic Fangio in the list of great 49er defensive coordinators? Definitely Ray Rhodes is in the conversation. George Seifert, probably the greatest of all the defensive coordinators, as well as one of the most underrated head coaches of all time. Deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, if you ask me. One of the highest winning percentage clips went to Carolina and kicked the Niners' butt there with Kerry Collins and Tim Biancobatuka. William Floyd went over there. Eric Davis went over there. But we get to see Vic Fangio. We get to see the guy who played in the Bay Area forever in Khalil Mack and now was the guy you wanted to trade for, but there was no way, there was just no way the Raiders were going to trade Khalil Mack to the Niners, no matter what the package was. And I don't blame, this is the other thing, like, well, Mark is doing it. No, you don't have to trade with anyone. Like, I don't want the Giants to ever trade with the Dodgers, just out of spite, even if that's the best deal. No, don't ever help them. All right, we got him. Kyle Madsen from Niners Wire. How you doing, buddy?
I'm hanging in there, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. Have you ever heard this? All the Niners. You know about the Super Bowl shuffle from the Bears. Do you know about the 49er rap song?
I don't, but I hope you're going to enlighten me.
Oh, well, basically, back in the day in the 80s, because I'm an 80s baby, you know, early 80s baby, we used to pump all these VHS tapes, right? And so everybody after the Super Bowl shuffle, because they're playing the Bears this weekend, the Bears came out with this famous Super Bowl shuffle. Well, you know the Niners had to duplicate it, and so they came out one with one in super 80s. It's super cheesy. It's super corny. You got to Google it. Just Google 49er rap song. You'll see Jerry Rice with poofy hair and a Jordache, like white-stained jeans, Roger Craig, and this is the chorus.
The San Francisco 49ers!
Isn't that just great?
Oh, my gosh. I'm all the way in. I can't wait.
I'm a diehard Niner fan. I know I've seen you out at the games a bunch, posting things on Twitter and whatnot. You've been watching this team all year, and I see a lot of outrage over DeForest Buckner not getting selected to the Pro Bowl. I think it's prestigious to even be an alternate, considering some of the other candidates. I'm not that outraged. He's still a young player. You got to win some games. Unfortunately, part of it is a team thing and then building up the credibility amongst the rest of the league to get that status. Were you outraged DeForest isn't a true Pro Bowler?
No, not at all. And you said it. You have to win games. A 3 or 4 win team is not going to have a ton of guys who are getting into the Pro Bowl, just especially based off name recognition. People know who Akeem Hicks is on that Bears defense. People know who Fletcher Cox is on that Super Bowl winning Eagles defense. People obviously know who Aaron Donald is. This is solely having to do with the 49ers not being a very good team. I don't think it's a slight against DeForest Buckner at all. If it was based solely on merit or stats, I think he would be in because he has been one of the best players at his position. But you got to, like you said, you got to win games. If the Niners were sitting at 8 or 9 wins right now, I think he's in.
I totally agree. And, you know, speaking of Buckner, 7th pick in the draft of 2016, he's just been a really good player. I thought after 99 was donned by Aldon Smith, we got bad luck with that number, Manny Loss in him. But he stepped in and just been absolutely just a lock solid pick. One of the centerpiece blue block picks of this organization over the last 5 years. He's eligible for a contract extension after this year. They got a ton of money. Do you think he's one of the guys they take care of right away?
Yeah, I think you have to. You don't want to wind up with a Khalil Mack situation, right? I mean, that happened just up the road. They have to have seen what happened there. And especially given their struggles on defense, you have to lock up a foundational piece like that. You can't mess around. You can't try and cut corners with it. And frankly, you might be able to get him a little cheaper now than if you wait a year, because if you get him in a defense with a legitimate edge rusher, I think he might even be better. And then you're paying him a few million more. So I think they'd be smart to try and hammer something out immediately if that's something he would be interested in.
Absolutely. Totally agree. And, you know, I was at the game this weekend, and it's pouring rain, and everybody on Twitter who's not at the game, without the context of how that stadium was built, how that team, Seattle, came in there and celebrated on the 50 with Richard Sherman, who was a Seattle Seahawk, with Pete Carroll, the kid from Marin, who didn't want to be a 49er coach in 2005 when they offered the job to him. There's just so many elements to why I was so excited to win that game. 10 in a row you had lost to them. What's your feeling on the tank people versus the ones who sat in that rain and wanted that payoff? Because when I was coming out of that ramp, when I was going into the parking lot, I didn't see one sad 49er fan saying, "Oh, I wish we would have lost this game."
Yeah, I understand. So when you zoom out and you look at the I talk about the Kings a lot, and the Sacramento Kings have this micro and macro fan base. That's what I call it. You have the macro fans who are zoomed out, and they're looking and they're going, "Look, this is a lost season. I'm on to 2019. Losses this season are basically wins." So I fully understand that, and I'm not going to sit there and tell somebody they're wrong for looking at it that way. But like you said, they'd lost 10 in a row, including the playoffs against the Seahawks. They needed a win, man. And when you look at who they're doing this with, DJ Reed was very good. Marcel Harris is excellent. DeForest Buckner was obviously stellar. Solomon Thomas had a good game. You look at all these young players who stood out. Richie James, the seventh round pick, had a kick return for a touchdown. You're looking at guys who are developing and playing well down the stretch. And now all of a sudden, okay, you move back three spots in the draft, but you're finding out that, hey, DJ Reed might be a starting nickel corner who is an impact player on defense. Marcel Harris is going to be your new starting strong safety who might be an impact player on defense. You're finding that out now. And if that results in wins over a huge rival to keep them from clinching the playoffs on your home field, I think that's worth three spots in the draft.
Totally
it's not
agree.
The end of the world. And I think it was much better for them to win that game, close out a game finally, because we've seen them blow so many fourth quarter leads this year. So to close out a game, get a couple of stops on defense down the stretch and win it in overtime, I think was huge.
I love it.
The San Francisco 49ers!
You know, my man, Richard Sherman, I'm blown away how myself and the rest of the fan base has gone a complete 180 on this guy. NFC Championship game, January 2014, I couldn't stand the dude. I couldn't even think about ever, I couldn't fathom in my wildest dreams I would ever not only just like the guy, but be rooting for him and then have the galls to say, you know what, I kind of want him to retire a 49er. I mean, how crazy has his turnaround been from heel to hero in the eyes of 49er fans?
Well, I think when it's the ultimate, you hate him when he's not on your team and you love him when he is. It's kind of like Draymond Green with the
yes.
Warriors. I think I would despise Draymond if he played for the Clippers, but I obviously love him because he plays for the Warriors. I'm a Warriors fan. I didn't think, I was like, you know what, I'll accept it. And if he makes an interception or a big play, I'll be happy about it, but I'm never going to actually root for this guy. But man, you listen to his press conferences week in and week out, and you see the impact he has on the young players on this team and the fact that he just took that Uncle Sherm thing and has run with it. You see the way that video the Niners posted on Twitter of their locker room afterwards, and you see that erupt when he walks in the room. That's amazing to me. And he's been so good for the culture that John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan obviously want to build. And that's something that I didn't know about him. And it's something that you wouldn't know unless you follow a team day in and day out, like we do with the 49ers. So yeah, it's reasonable looking at it now. It's like, oh yeah, of course that was going to happen. he's great. But if you told me even 12 months ago, hey, Richard Sherman's going to be a guy you really enjoy having around, I would not have believed you.
It's unreal. It's one of the almost. Like Dion, because I hated Dion when he was a Falcon. I mean, I just hated Dion. And I even love Sherman more because of how stinky the situation is And yet he's still that leader, that dude. Like, he didn't just come to a team and we won right away and everything was good. Like, there's some adversity here. And I love everything he stands for. You know, we could talk about Kittle and Brito. Everybody knows they've had fantastic seasons. I'm more impressed with two guys. And I bring this up. I know you're an old school 49er fan. My favorite draft of the last 20-something years is the 2007 draft. You nab Patrick Willis, and then you trade back into the first round and you get Joe Staley. Two of the best draft picks this organization has had, maybe ever. And when it comes to just guys that you can trust in the locker room, how they treat people in the community, the type of just effort that they give. I look at Mike McGlinchey, and I look at Fred Warner. Both guys starting from day one, which Willis didn't do because they had Derek Smith, and Staley played on the right side like McGlinchey's doing right now. It's really incredible that we've just plugged in these two rookies, and then you throw in Pettis and what he's done, and these guys are going to be stalwarts for maybe 7 to 10 years. How impactful has this last draft been, given how crummy the year prior was?
Yeah, they needed it. When you look at 2017 and just kind of the way Solomon Thomas, I think Solomon Thomas can be in the league for a decade and be a rotational player, but that's not what you want out of the number three pick. Obviously, the Reuben Foster situation was a disaster on multiple fronts. So, yeah, they needed a home run in 2018. And obviously, we got to let it play out because we saw what happened with Adrian Colbert this year, how much he declined. But it certainly looks good to start, for sure, right? Like you mentioned, Fred Warner in the middle, and McGlinchey looks like a guy who's going to be able to jump over to left tackle when Staley does retire. They needed something. They needed a win, and it looks like the 2018 draft is going to be a win. Now it's up to them this offseason to build on that with another strong draft, and then obviously through free agency as well.
Absolutely. You got Vic Fangio coming to town. You got Khalil Mack coming to town back from the Raiders. The Niners wanted to get him. I'm excited for this game. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm ready to see my man, the undrafted guy, Nick Mullins, the overachiever. He's just been awesome. I mean, he really has. He came out of nowhere. After the first preseason game against the Dallas Cowboys, Bonte and I did a show on air. I said, dude, he's better than C.J. Beathard. He said I was crazy. And I don't think that he's a top-end starter. I'm not saying all those things. But he's putting together something pretty special. He reminds me a lot of Sean Hill. He's just got more guile and guts than we give him credit for. What do you think the future holds for Nick Mullins in the 49er organization?
I think he's the kind of backup that you might like overpay a little bit. Just because he obviously understands the offense. He runs it very well. He knows his limitations as a signal caller. And I think he's the kind of guy who, unless a team is going to throw starter money at him, is going to be okay knowing that, hey, he's going to back up Jimmy Garoppolo and he might get a spot start here and there. But he's just going to be a good teammate. He knows the offense. If they have to start him for a couple of games, they're confident he can go win it, which is huge. I used to cover the Titans. And they had Matt Cassel as a backup, and if Marcus Mariota went down, they were done. they weren't winning, and that's not the case with Mullins, and that's so huge in the NFL today. When you see guys getting hurt so often, the Packers, look at what happened with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
he went down, and obviously he is a different level of quarterback. But the Packers had nothing after him on their depth chart. So to have a guy like Nick Mullins who can come in and orchestrate your offense and get you wins, that's enormous. So I think that's what his future is. When you kind of look at his numbers, I think that's where he's at. That number two quarterback, that really solid number two.
I love it. Kyle Madsen, managing editor for the 49ers Wire. You can catch him on Twitter, Kyle A. Madsen. Kyle, every time you hear this song, I want you to think of Butcher Boy and Candlestick. All right, the Excelsior here in the city, because we are throwing it back old school style. Thank you for joining us. If you're down at the stadium, dude, you see me, I'm going to be in 217. Come by and say hi. I'm dead serious.
I love it. I sure will, man.
All right, dude. Come on anytime. That's Kyle Madsen, managing editor of the Niners Wire. Merry Christmas, Kyle. On the other side, okay, we're going to continue this 49er conversation here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the Butcher Shop on 95.7 The Game. Here's Joe Shasky.
Woo! Yes, 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 San Francisco. Merry Christmas. What is this beat, James Pappas? Give me that millennial music.
It's a little Immortal Technique.
Whew, I'm feeling it. I hope we're having fun tonight. 49ers versus the Bears. We're going to keep the conversation going at 9:30. about 45 minutes, we're going to have Jason Cole. We will talk about the Raiders stadium situation. Them wanting to play at AT&T Park. Remember, they started in San Francisco. We will talk about that in about 45 minutes. And we're going to do a little Hall of Fame. We're going to go right down the list, talk all about the Hall of Fame for baseball, because there are some absurd names on this list that offend me. Literally offend me that they're on this list. But I want to dig in on the 49ers right now, because I know I'm probably beating a dead horse, but I'm going to do it one more time.
The San Francisco 49ers!
We go up against the Bears this weekend, the team that created the Super Bowl shuffle of the 80s. And nothing screams 80s like Niners. Bears. One of the great games on their way to a Super Bowl was when the Niners beat the Bears in 89. In the frozen tundra, even though it's not the tundra, it was Soldier Field. And Ronnie Lott, you guys pull up that audio. Ronnie Lott going, nobody thought the finesse 49ers could come in here and beat the Bears. And it was a huge turning point for that organization to prove that they're not just finesse, even though they already had two Super Bowls in the earlier 80 years, that they were the real deal and they were tough. And people forget when the Niners won Super Bowls, they had top five defenses. Michael Carter, Charles Haley, Ronnie Lott. Ronnie was so sick. So sick.
Eric Wright.
Eric Wright, Missouri's own. My cousin actually went hunting with Eric Wright and said he was scared to death. Eric Wright is no joke. No joke. Eric Wright famously horse collar tackled Drew Pearson in the catch game. Everyone forgets. Everyone thinks, oh, Dwight Clark made the catch. The game was over. No. Danny White and the Dallas Cowboys had lots of time on the clock, 50-something seconds, 40-something seconds, and they threw a slant to Drew Pearson, and he was going across the middle over the 50-yard line, and Eric Wright, horse collar, tackled him down. Very next play, Danny White fumbles. The Niners win. People forget that. And yes, in the 707 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, and get in 888-957-9570. Are you going to Levi's this weekend? Are you ready? And what is on your 49er off-season Christmas wish list? What do you want? Was it Derek Papa, who's listening to the station right now, texting in that it was Keena Turner? You know what? It might have been Keena Turner. And if it is, I will stand corrected. It's good to see that the Papas have joined the 49er army. It really is. I'm glad. Love you, Derek. Does great work. Don Griffin on the 510. Love that. Absolutely love that. Getting back to the 49ers, though. They play the Bears this weekend. I just love Vic Fangio. And everyone's, oh, Kyle couldn't land Vic Fangio. Vic was not going to come back and work for the Yorks. I'm sorry. He was so mad over the Tom Sula situation, and everybody in that organization felt, from the prior regime, the Harbaugh regime, felt that Jim Tom Sula was the rat, the snitch, the Fredo. If you're a Godfather fan, have you both seen Godfather? Tell me you've seen it. Okay, good. You've seen Godfather. Thank you. Fredo, obviously, is Michael Corleone's brother, and he turns on him. And that was what Jim Tom Sula did to Jim Harbaugh. And he was the only holdover, carryover guy, him and Raffman, from the prior regime, from the Mike Nolan years. But Vic Fangio was never going to come back and work for this organization. I get over it. It's just like the people saying, like, the Niners should have got Khalil Mack. Khalil was never going to get traded to the 49ers. And if I was Mark, if I was John Gruden, if I was Reggie McKitchen, whoever you want to pinpoint the deal on, they weren't going to ever trade him to the Raiders. But I got to say, that dude, I mean, I knew he was good. He was one of the baddest. His season is just... he's unreal, and he's missed. Well, how many games, Pappas, has he missed? One, two games, Khalil? Two at most, okay. The high ankle sprain or something like that. He had a little ankle injury. He's been unreal. What a perfect fit. They got the kid Jackson from Alabama, who's got like a zillion interceptions. By the way, you want to know how bad the Niners' defense is? They have two interceptions, okay? This is how good pass rush can affect the secondary. How many does the Bears have? Oh, they have 28. 28 interceptions. That's incredible. I'm curious now what the team record is for one season on turnovers, especially in this pass-happy era. That's 28 seems like a lot. Seems like a lot. Fuller has more interceptions than Jackson, huh? 7 interceptions for Fuller. Wow. Wow, that's pretty interesting. But they got a squad. Roquan Smith was my favorite linebacker coming out. I loved him. The Bears just swooped him. He's an absolute stud. Perfect. They got Floyd. They got Hicks. They got a nice team. They got a really nice team. And I have to say, I'm eating some crow. Look, I'm not saying he's ever going to be Andrew Luck. But Mitchell Trubisky is significantly better than I ever gave him credit for. And, you know, I get it. We're all caught up in the moment. Nick Mullins. Look what Shanahan has done with Nick Mullins. And I agree with that. He's done some great things. But look what he passed on that first year. Trubisky. And I don't even think I would have took Trubisky. But Trubisky, Deshaun, Patrick Mahomes. I mean, come on. You can't take one of those guys. If you're supposed to be the quarterback guru, how did you not see anything in any of those guys? And you didn't have a quarterback at the time. You had Brian Hoyerable.
How did you see something in C.J. Beathard? I don't want to kick a man when he's down.
No,
but.
No. I said from the beginning on C.J. Beathard, he is the cement-footed, slowest processing quarterback I've ever. Ken Dorsey thinks that C.J. Beathard is slow.
Miramani High School grad Ken Dorsey, love that.
He's the AD somewhere in Florida right now. He's the athletic director somewhere.
No. Ken Dorsey is the quarterback's coach with the Carolina Panthers, if I remember correctly.
Is he? I thought he was an athletic director.
Right now.
I thought he was like an assistant athletic director somewhere. Is he the quarterback's coach? Maybe I'm thinking of Gino Toretta.
You were right.
I'm right.
He was the quarterback's coach for the Carolina Panthers from 2013 to 2017. Okay. I had that. But okay. He is currently the assistant athletic director of the Florida International University Golden Panthers.
Wow. FIU, huh?
FIU.
That's interesting.
Not to be confused with FAU, where Lane Kiffin is head coach right now.
Oh, Lane. Lane's crushing it in Boca Raton. Crushing it, dude. That guy, can you imagine him on a boat, Lane Kiffin? I bet he gets after it. Like baller style. You know ballers? You guys watch ballers, right?
I'd be surprised if Lane Kiffin ever left a boat. I think he coaches all of the games from a boat, just lounging back.
His tweet game is strong.
Yeah.
I'm a big Lane Kiffin fan. I mean, terrible coach when it comes to head coach at 28, 29 years old. You know, we got to get the projection out and explain to Tim Kawakami why he can't be coach of the Raiders anymore. But other than that, his tweet game is strong. Strong to very strong. And we're going to have Jason Cole at the bottom of the hour. We're going to talk about the Raiders stadium situation. You know what? Let's dig in a little right now. Let's dig in a little right now. Did you guys know the Oakland Raiders did not play their first game ever in Oakland when they first originally became an NFL team? Do you know where they played first? You guys, any guesses? Come on, somebody, anybody?
This feels disingenuous because we had this conversation before, so I don't know if I should play dumb or just go for it.
Well, I'm going to roll with it. Since we were talking about it earlier with Brian Baldinger, Kezar Stadium was the first home of the Raiders. They played some games there.
Love it.
They also played at Candlestick, so that's two different stadiums in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Okay? So they're the Oakland Raiders of San Francisco.
Surprised they didn't get any running down at Moscone or anything like that.
Come on, dude. Are you kidding me? I'm Moscone. We're going to play at Presidio. Then you got Frank Ewellfield. I don't know Frank. If anyone on the Chilton Auto Body text line, or you want to call in 888-957-9570, or if one of the papas that are listening right now at the dinner table saying how awesome Butcher Boy is on the radio, if you want to tell me where Ewellfield is, I have no clue. So I'm showing my ignorance there. Then they were at the Oakland Coliseum, then at Cal Memorial Stadium, then down to LA Coliseum, then back up to the Oakland Coliseum. And now next year, Raj Mathai was saying, on the Greg Papa Show with Bonte Hill, The Afternoon Delight, produced by Derek Papa, that the San Francisco Giants were in talks with the Raiders for them to have games at AT&T Park. Now, I got to ask you guys, because I've been to games there for football. I'm curious. Have either of you been to a bowl game or an XFL game at AT&T Park, a football game?
Yeah, I went to the Emerald Bowl a couple of years back.
Emerald Bowl, that a boy.
The Huskies played somebody.
It used to be Pac-12 versus ACC, like the fifth place teams or some. You know how they have the algorithm? It's like the fifth place ACC team versus the sixth place Pac-12 team, or at the time Pac-10. See, I saw Florida State out there. I saw UCLA. I've seen Miami play out there. I've seen a bunch of different teams come to San Francisco. Usually the game would be after Christmas, but before New Year's. And so it would always be wet out there. And actually, it was one of my favorite games to go to. Used to be wild out there. Absolutely. Oh, here we go. 510. Frank Ewell is Laney College. I didn't know that. I did not know. Frank Yule Field is Laney College's field. Laney, I think, won a state championship this year in junior college football ranks. Yeah. Yeah, City College of San Francisco had a bad year. Laney had a phenomenal year. Shout out to Laney. Honestly, shout out to them. I did not know that. They played at the column before. Oh, okay. So the 510's all over it. And thank you for chiming in on the Chilton Auto Body text line here. But wait one sec. I'm going to give you guys all the love. One second, though. We got to get Drake on. We got to get...
Legal.
What, Drake?
Legal.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ NHD1, KGMZ San Francisco, the radio home of the back-to-back champ, Golden State Warriors. So this Raiders... I guess they played at Laney College's. That's where Yule Field is. And am I pronouncing it properly? I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it. I'm butchering it, and I apologize if I am. I want no disrespect. It sucks to me. I was talking with Tommy Call about this today. I'm a diehard Niner fan. You guys know that. I don't hold anything back. I'm keeping it real. The Raiders belong in Oakland. This sucks. This fan base has been kicked in the nuts so many times. So many different times by the league, by their own owner, by coaches, etc. They belong in Oakland. And this thing that like, oh, Mark just couldn't make it work financially. Every single Silicon Valley tech company wants to move to San Francisco or Oakland. Coffee companies are getting $25 million grants. You're telling me you can't get a stadium grant? You can't figure out the financing? Call up Gideon Yu, the guy who helped finance and get the plans to finance Levi Stadium. I cannot believe they're moving again. Like, I really can't. Because when I was a kid, 83 they moved, right? I was a baby, you know, but 83 they moved. Then they came back in 96. I remember it specifically. And a lot of the times they were good, not right away, but pretty close to right away they were good again with Gruden. But after that, it was like blackout. And the Raiders weren't on the television because they had the old blackout rules. You guys remember that? Growing up, we used to call them the Silver and Blackout. And I actually felt bad. My cousin was a big Raider fan. Here, you want to know, diehard Niner fan, Joe Shasky, my great-grandma was a diehard Raider fan. Diehard Raider fan. She knew John Madden somehow from the Daly City days up at Jefferson High, and she was a diehard. And her son, my grandpa, who I'm taking to his first game at Levi's, who started going out at Kezar and whatnot, he would go, "Mom, I can't believe you like the Raiders." And she kept saying, "Well, they win, and the Niners don't," because they won more than the Niners up to that point. People forget when the Raiders left, they were by far the more winning organization, by far. And they had all the sexy names when it comes to the players. They had the sexy head coach, the name recognition. I mean, and they were, you know, this is back in the 60s and 70s when having that black color was very unique. Now every team's got an all, you know, the Niners stupidly had that all black. It looked like a liquor store jersey. It did. It looked like a liquor store jersey. You couldn't even read the numbers. It's brutal. There's only one black team jersey-wise when it comes to football in the Bay Area. It's the Oakland Raiders. I don't know what the Niners were ever thinking doing that. And I just feel bad for